Our gospel lesson for this morning comes to us from Luke's gospel, the 19th chapter, verses 28 to 40. Listen now to God's word. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When Jesus had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find there tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. Oops. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks as we gather here today that we praise you with those who praised Christ's name millennia ago. For you, O God, are blessed. You, O God, are holy. And we give you thanks that you came to us in Christ to free us from sin and brokenness, to free us even from death. And so we pray that you will draw near to us now. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts will be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A painter named El Cid created a piece of art in the neighborhood in which the garbage collectors of Cairo, Egypt, live. Now, he painted a mural, and this mural covered 50 buildings throughout the community. Each home displayed a smaller piece of the picture. His hope was initially to beautify a poor and marginalized community, to speak light and hope into a community that had been cast aside because their job, their livelihood, was based on collecting and organizing the trash of other people in their own community. But El Cid's artwork had a twist. Now, in order to view this piece of work in its entirety, one had to climb the mountain that was alongside this community, Mount Mukaddam. And you had to look down and see the houses all together to see the one piece of art. From this perspective alone, you could read the phrase that was painted in Arabic across these 50 buildings. El Cid used a quote from St. Athanasius, the Alexandrian bishop, that read, "Anyone who wants to see the sunlight clearly needs to wipe his eyes first." Now, today's biblical passage is also an exercise in perspective as well. Now, the passage that we heard for this morning is familiar to us. We read verses about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem every year on the Sunday before Easter. And that's where we are today. Now, this day gets its own name, called Palm Sunday. We wave palm branches. We sing and talk about the cries of Hosanna and palm branches blanketing the ground upon which Jesus enters Jerusalem. You may have noticed, however, that Luke's particular account of this story makes no mention of palm branches at all. As Jesus heads into Jerusalem with his disciples to celebrate the Passover, he rides on a colt that he orders his disciples to untie. As he enters the area, people lay their cloaks down on the road and cry out together, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." In Luke's gospel, the songs of the people echo the song of the angels at Jesus' birth. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest heaven. The angels who once sang of the announcement of peace on earth. As the heavens heralded Jesus' birth with songs of peace, so now the people of earth herald Jesus' impending death with songs of peace in the highest heaven. We know where this road will take him. This procession is just a prologue to the events that unfold in Jerusalem in the coming week. A supper in an upper room, a nighttime prayer in a garden, the betrayal of a friend. We know that this path toward the Mount of Olives will eventually wind around so that Jesus will soon find himself atop of another mountain called Golgotha, the place of the skull. We know that these voices singing around Jesus, surrounding him with affection and praising God, will soon give ways to other cries. Crowds crying for out his crucifixion, or cries of those who love him as they witness his suffering. Now, with this foreknowledge as our vantage point for this story, we can decide if we wish to play a game of theological leapfrog and jump from one day of joy to another. Today, we can praise a humble teacher that was lifted high on a donkey as he rode into town. And then we can go home and go back to work and back to school. We can buy some plants for our garden out front. We can open the windows and let in the breeze. And we can come back next Sunday. And we can celebrate that this same person is now the Son of God who has been lifted up from the grave, who overcame death. And our hosannas can give way to hallelujahs. Or we can choose to follow Jesus along the road. We can go with him through Jerusalem and face the harsh turns in the story, a story of denial and false allegations, and the arrest and torture and execution of an innocent man. We can choose to see the best of humanity, those who in a moment seem to get it and recognize the face of God in Christ. Or we can choose to turn our gaze to the limitations everywhere around us, to see the wishy-washy nature of humanity, our propensity to sin, and how often we choose to turn away from God, even when God turns continually toward us. We can choose to find ourselves in the comfortable places of the story, in the stranger who just let the disciples take his colt, or in the women who stayed by Jesus through it all, or in the voice of the risen Christ who calls those he loves by name. Or we can dare to enter into the more complicated places and explore the areas in our lives in which fear might have gotten the best of us, or even when we have allowed our perception of people and events to be shaped by the crowd, because the crowd was giving us the message we wanted to hear, even if that message comes at a cost. This tension somehow exists in these 12 short verses we read together today. There's a tension in the unrestrained praise of the people and the group of Pharisees who are trying to hold Jesus back. Now, with all fairness, we don't know if these Pharisees are trying to caution Jesus, saying, "Whoa, things are going to get out of hand. Take it easy. Be careful." Or if the Pharisees are reprimanding Jesus, saying that this act was improper. There's the tension between two parades today. There's the parade we read about in our text, as Jesus is celebrated by those in the streets. And then there's a parade of which theologians Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan remind us that on this same day, Pilate and his Roman officials would also be entering Jerusalem atop horses and dressed in the regalia of the empire to be keepers of the peace. There is the tension between human power and God's power. So today, where do we fit into the story? How do we hold together these tensions as a people of faith? We live our lives in many ways as a Palm Sunday people. We gather together each week and we do our best to proclaim our belief that Jesus is King and Lord. We sing our praises, we raise our voices, and everything does seem to stop for a moment, doesn't it? The distractions of the outside world, the bad day we were having yesterday, our stresses and burdens, our fears and our worries seem to stop and we're drawn into God's love. Christ catches our attention and we come longing to be changed, to be transformed, to be a community of praise all together. And even more, we want to be agents of change. We want a piece of what Jesus has to offer and we want the transformation that has occurred within us to come about through us to help build this kingdom of peace and justice on earth. But even as we gather, we acknowledge that we are limited in our understanding and even in our ability to follow. Our hosannas stop and life gets back to normal. So easily we become preoccupied with the day-to-day and the exceptional moments around us, with all that is to be done and all that we want to do. I remember as a child leaving church on Sunday morning and piling into our family's car, even with the allure of McDonald's lunch after church, if we behaved ourselves, quickly my sisters and I would start to swat each other and fight with each other, even as we bowed our heads with reverence and sang the songs loudly just moments ago. We are all those kids. We don't forget the parade, and we know even that when our voices blend together to sing God's praises, they sound better than they do alone, even when we're singing in the shower and have the best acoustics ever. But we don't always live into the truth that we proclaim as individuals or as a community. We don't always live as if we are in the presence of our Savior King. We don't always live as if we are in the midst of the one who will set us all free. But even as we encounter the limits of our understanding, and even as we encounter the limits of our praise, and even as we encounter the limits of our ability to follow Jesus, we must remember the unstated truth of that Palm Sunday processional, that the truth that at the heart of all the bumbling limitation and the pathetic lack of understanding, the truth is that we were fooling ourselves in the first place if we were to think that it was our praise that made Jesus King in the first place. As those who gathered to sing the first chorus of hosannas were fooling themselves if they thought that their pomp and circumstance would ever anoint or appoint Jesus King at all. See, the good news is that it is not us who make Jesus King. It is not us who crown him, and it's not even our obedience that enthrones him. Honestly, our attempts to do so are limited at best and, frankly, distorted at worst. For when we are the ones who try to place that crown upon his head, we may find that we are really trying to claim him not to be who he is, but who we want him to be. And in our weaker moments, we might even think that by claiming Jesus as our own, that he will do our bidding, he will advance our platform, and he will somehow make us someone we are not. Which actually he does, but I'll get to that in a second. But thanks be to God that this is not up to us. Jesus' authority comes from God alone. And the kingdom that Christ came to usher into this world is not a kingdom of our own making, but it is one that expresses the fullness of God's will. God's will for wholeness and reconciliation. God's will for freedom from oppression. God's will of gracious, unmerited love that will rule every day of all eternity once and for all. By God's grace, the truth of the matter is that we are not simply a Palm Sunday people trying to do it alone. The truth is that In spite of our meager attempts to enthrone Jesus as king, we are an Easter people whose personal and corporate limitation has been overcome by God's great love for us that came in Jesus Christ, evident in his life, his death, and his resurrection from the grave. We worship a God whose love is so great that this God took on our flesh and entered our lives. God in Christ overcame the sin and the pain and the brokenness and even the death that afflicts us, that separates us from one another, that separates us from God. So let us follow the advice of Saint Athanasius. Let us wipe our eyes. Let us wipe our eyes so that we might see Jesus, the Son of God, the light of the world, who has come by God's grace to save us. Let us wipe our eyes that we might see the kingdom of God breaking into our midst. Let us wipe our eyes that we might see how Christ alone strengthens us and calls us forth to manifest this beautiful, unified vision of peace, of hope, of God's love here on earth and calling us into eternity. For God's power, for the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for the might of the Holy Spirit, which draws us together in love, may we give thanks. May we give praise. May we shout Hosanna to our God. Amen.